who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of August 4th, 2023.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for joining us. My name is Lynn, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, hi. How is it going?
Lynn, it is. It's going. It's going. It's going. You know, there's kind of a. We have to address something pretty quickly here, but
yeah,
yeah.
So before we get into that, I wanted to mention that Ken and I are both former Disneyland Studio cast members, and we talk Disneyland, and this is, like I said, our current events edition. We explore some of the news across the Disneyland Resort, and we are also authors of two books, Cleaning the Kingdom. You can get the autographed copies on our website at thesweepspot.com. You can also get those on Amazon that are not autographed, and you can also get the digital copies wherever those are found, like Kindle. And you can also get the Audible audio version on Audible. Also of both those books. You can join our Patreon to help support our show. We really appreciate it. And you get two perks by doing that. If you give $5 or more per month, you get one bonus episode where Ken and I record various topics surrounding Disneyland. And then also you get to join in the chat room for our current events edition, this one. So actually this show is our live edition. So if you join after this, you'll be able to join us on the next one. And we do that once a month, and it's a lot of fun. So Ken had something he wanted to mention.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people listening already know this. And if you don't, I'm sorry that I'm the one breaking it to you. But our good friend Jim Corcus did pass. And, you know, everybody in the Disney fan circles, has been talking about it for the past week. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the outcome we wanted. We wanted Jim to recover and come back and join us on the show as our recurring guest. He wrote the foreword to our second book.
That's right.
And he dedicated one of his most recent books to us. And he was just very generous with coming on the show, and people loved hearing him.
21 times, Ken.
21 times. Oh, my gosh. A meticulous historian, a very enthusiastic historian. Mm-hmm. We tapped him for, you know, mostly information about Disneyland, but he was also an animation historian and you know, we'll talk more about it during the segment with our Patreon supporters. But we just wanted to address the personal aspects of it right here. Lynn, you and I are, we're middle-aged. we're not strangers to losing people.
No.
You know, we've had people very close to us pass.
Yeah.
This past year has just been, you know, there's
interesting.
A few people that, you know, there's people I knew from Disneyland. You know, I'd met at Disneyland. I knew at Disneyland. It's been a little rough, you know, losing some people that I cared about. And Jim, you know, if you just go back, if you've listened to the episodes with Jim, you already know. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't, you really should go back and listen. Go to our go to our official archive and search for Jim Corcus.
Yeah.
And and you'll hear it. It's just you know, we would chat with him before recording.
Yeah.
And then we would kind of have to say, we'd better start getting to the actual show, because if we don't, we're going to just chat forever. And Jim, you know, Jim was on the East Coast, and we would record late, and, you know, it just, we didn't want to keep him up late. And so, yeah, I'm just very beloved. I mean, all over social media, just people just pouring out their hearts about their memories of Jim, and appreciative of his work, and just, you know, upset that he's passed. So
I do wish that, you know, we never had the opportunity to meet him in person. And that was one thing I really wanted to do, because I did appreciate all the time he gave us here. And I knew that it was valuable. And I knew that he just knew so much, you know, and I wanted to meet that person, you know, Jim, in person, and thank him in person for everything he's done for our show and coming on. And I remember the last time I spoke with him, it was on a phone call, and I was just checking in with him because he was having some internet issues and he wasn't answering an email, because I wanted to try to set up another show for him to come on. And he wasn't answering it. That's kind of weird. I mean, he would usually get back to me within a day, and was always really open to coming on any of the dates I really mentioned. So I wanted to get a hold of him to come on the show, and he wasn't answering. And so I looked up his phone number, which I have, and I gave him a call, and he answered, and we chatted for a while, probably like an hour, about just everything. We talked about Disney, personal life stuff, and we had a really nice talk. So he will be missed for sure. The show he was one of our most popular guests, most requested. I would always say that in the introduction. One of our most requested guests. Yeah, and he would get really you know, flattered by that, and was always very so humble about all the attention. So go out and buy his books. You know, those are going to live on. The information, this is one thing he always said to us, and I want to keep this in mind, is his main mission and goal was to document the history of Disney in the correct way. And so it could pass on to generations and others to keep learning about Walt and about the people that worked with Walt, and stories about the parks and everything. So yeah, go out and buy his books and, you know, learn something more from Jim. You can, that is something that will never go away. So, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely do that. Do listen to the older episodes with him, it pains me to bring that word to you that we're never going to have him on the show again.
I know.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's,
you know, that's part of life, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know, Jim, we're just going to do him proud, and we're going to keep this thing going, and we're going to keep spreading the good news about, you know, Disney and Disneyland and Walt, and we're gonna continue to make Jim proud, because I know
to document people's memories and experiences, and hopefully just, you know, make him proud.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just so appreciative of everything he did, and yeah.
There, but I'm really excited and glad that he's able to come on our show, and his name is Jim Korkus. Welcome to our show, Jim.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ken and Lynn, for having me on. You know, I just came back from the Disney Family Museum where I was doing a presentation on Walt's love of outer space, and so I'm here, you know, just sweeping out the living room, and so I figured, you know, I need to get tips from experts, you know, about, you know, where to hide the dirt and all of that. So I appreciate you giving me a call so that I can tap into your expertise, your Disney expertise, in fact, yeah. So that this house can look a little livable here.
Well, the trick is living next to a restaurant and then pushing it all into the restaurant area, because then it's the busser responsibility. and the sweepers don't have to take care of it then.
Well, thank you for inviting me again. It's always fun talking to people who have a real passion for Disney history. And I think as the years keep moving on, more and more we need to share this information, especially with those people who are just discovering Disney history today.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I started the show, is to spread the...
We do have a little bit of passion.
Yeah.
You have Jim
Corcus. Yes.
Jim Corcus, the author and historian and the special guest star of the podcast. Well, the other special guest star. I'm the main special guest star. But he's our special guest star. We always get great feedback when Jim's on the podcast. Oh, so stay tuned. It's going to be a great episode.
All right. I thought we'd welcome back one of our favorite guests to have on our show and a good friend of ours. And I wanted to welcome back Jim Corcus. Welcome back, Jim.
Well, thank you so much for always having me on. I certainly appreciate it, and I love talking with the two of you, and also your listeners are just terrific, and so it just always gets me excited to share whatever I can with them, because they're so appreciative.
Yeah, they really do enjoy everything you bring to the show, and wanted to give a quick plug before we get started. Jim is an author of many books. I can't don't even know where to start. But if you name a subject,
basically it's close to 35 books now.
Wow.
Just related to Disney. I've written other books, but 35 books just related to Disney, and of course, a very popular holiday gift will be the Disneyland Historical Highlights, which covers year by year the first years of Disneyland while Walt and Roy were in charge. And, of course, that book was inspired by these two charming fellows who run this website. I would never have written it unless they had, had me on the show and got me to thinking about the possibilities. And of course, I'm working on new books for next year, but Disneyland Historical Highlights will make a nice stocking stuffer for you this year. It's available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's a great book. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Always love chatting with you.
My pleasure as always. I have a great deal of respect for both of you, and thanks for giving me a forum. I appreciate that, and thanks for always promoting my books.
Wow, what an episode. I could have kept talking and talking about all of that.
Sometimes we have to limit it and continue the next time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we could talk for hours and hours and hours, and maybe sometime we will, but
yeah.
But we'll have to pick up on that topic, some of the issues we raised, mm-hmm. another time. But Jim's always a great guest.
Oh yeah.
And thank you for listening to us, and we know you enjoy Jim too.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Consi Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in! We start our journey in Walt Disney World, where fan-favorite fooderies have just returned. No, not the Food and Wine Festival, that's later. I mean, it's open to now, but just hang on, it later in the thing that I'm doing, that thing, yeah. What I'm talking about now is the Trails End and Crockett's Tavern restaurants at the Fort Wilderness Resort and Campgrounds. These two beloved locations are back on the menu with updated decor and menus. Rustic beams, wooden furniture with Western upholstery, and plenty of wagon wheels and lanterns and other Western-y stuff fill the room. Let's talk food, though. Crockett's Tavern has always been a great place to hang out near Bay Lake. Disney opened up more indoor space to make this spot a full-fledged lounge with a menu of tasty and shareable dishes. Try some sliders, boneless wings, cauliflower bites, and cheese plates with your friends, or maybe just for yourself. The bar still has a window out onto the porch if you feel like enjoying a few drinks in the evening breeze. Visitors used to make the trek to Fort Wilderness for the excellent buffet at Trail's End. The new version of this restaurant focuses on quick service with excellent choices. A pizza station lets your family watch your pie head through the oven. Buy it by the slice or take it out whole. Get some to-go barbecue with an a la carte meal and sides. The restaurant will have plenty of home-style options like brisket, ribs, and chicken. But stick around for dessert. Trails End was always known for its options like pioneer berry salad, banana pudding, carrot cake cupcakes, and blueberry bread pudding. Now you can pick up all of those options plus some of the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review's legendary strawberry shortcake. There are tons more surprises to come at these two establishments, so make sure you take a boat on over to Fort Wilderness on your next trip. Fort Wilderness is a great place to stay if you want to actually camp in a tent at Walt Disney World. Holy cow! You can also stay in your RV cheaply or rent out one of the many cabins on property. It's one of those hidden gems that's just a quick boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I am Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Ventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport. Any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, do you have anything for us?
Well, Lynn, there's a lot. As we have already mentioned, our dear friend Jim Corcus has passed. And I'm going to explain kind of what happened for people wondering. An accident at home in February sent him to the emergency room and led to a series of discoveries of serious medical concerns. Treatments for his initial fall uncovered multiple major arterial blockages, leading to unexpected open heart surgery where Jim had a quadruple bypass. They also found inoperable stage 4 colon cancer, unfortunately. But he was receiving treatments, and we were hoping the treatments would at least get him healthy enough that he could return to some normalcy. The GoFundMe was saying, Jim is grateful for all the people who have bought his books and supported his work, which helps keep his spirits up. Then on July 28th, Mark Goldhaber updated and said, "Friends, I am heartbroken to have to inform you that our friend Jim Corcus passed away this morning. He was unresponsive this morning at the rehab center and was transported to the hospital. His brother, Mike, was able to arrive a few minutes before Jim passed. While Jim could not respond, Mike said that Jim appeared to be able to hear him, and he was able to talk to Jim for those last few minutes. Jim had been feeling good this week, and there really was no indication that things would take a turn for the worse. He did not appear to be in pain and went quickly and quietly as he had wished. There will be a memorial for Jim at a date and time to be determined. It will be held via Zoom so that those elsewhere in the U.S. or overseas can attend. We'll publicize the details once it's set. But for now, Mike needs to focus on taking care of the necessary details. To those of you who contributed to this GoFundMe, thank you. Your contributions and messages of support gave life and light to Jim over these last several weeks. He was astonished to see how many people loved him. The remaining balance will be used to help pay off his final medical bills." And Jim actually wrote something. I'm going to link to it. It was posted on Facebook. He was born August 15th, 1950 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He passed away at the age of 72 of stage 4 colon cancer on July 28th, 2023. He is survived by his two brothers, Michael and Chris. Jim was divorced and had no children. When he was 5 years old, his family moved to Glendale, California, where Jim grew up attending Edison Elementary School, where one of his teachers was Mrs. Disney, the wife of Walt's older brother, Herbert. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just wanted to point out some of the highlights. After graduation, he spent two decades teaching English and drama at Huntington Middle School in San Marino. Now, that caught my attention because I had no idea. San Marino, you know, was a neighboring city to where I grew up, and they were our rivals. So he helped pay his way through college by working at the Los Angeles Zoo as a driver and tour guide. Later on in the biography, in California, Jim also pursued a career in theater. He appeared in over 100 theatrical productions, starting with the Glendale Center Theater. He directed over 100 stage performances. He did some occasional voiceover work. With his brothers, Jim appeared at The Gong Show, The Dating Game, and Family Feud. By himself, he appeared on Camouflage, where he won a Cadillac, and the pilot Origins. He appeared on Entertainment Tonight as a Disney historian. With his brother Mike, Jim developed a comedy magic act as part of a show he wrote and directed at Six Flags Magic Mountain. It was Lucky Louie's Roaring Twenties Review. They performed at the Variety Arts Theater, Jonathan Clubs, J.C. Penney, and more. Jim was a performer in Pelican's Corner at Magic Mountain and helped design the Halloween Haunted Mountain promotion. In 1995, he moved to Orlando, Florida, to take care of his ailing mom and dad. Jim became identified as a Disney historian and worked as a performer as Merlin in the Sword in the Stone ceremony and Prospector Pat in Frontierland, an animation instructor at the Disney Institute, guest relations at Epcot, tour instructor with Disney Adult Discoveries, and coordinator with the Disney Learning Center. He was brought as a special consultant for Disney Cruise Line, Disney Vacation Club, Imagineering, and Animation, where he taught different classes for interns, among other departments. Disney laid off Jim in 2009, along with thousands of others. Jim started writing books about all things Disney and ended up producing over 36 books. He was a popular guest on podcasts like this one that you're listening to right now. Jim's last words, quote, "There are so many books I wanted to read or reread, so many movies and television shows I wanted to see or re-see, and so many food treats I wanted to enjoy again, like See's chocolates. I know God loves me, and this is part of his plan. Be happy and kind to each other." When you think of me, I hope you smile.
Yeah. He says, "I loved you all and appreciated your generosity, support, and hope."
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn. Thank you for finishing that.
Yeah.
So as you can tell, we're just a little moved.
Yeah. Jim, we talked about it in the intro, like we said, but I will say it again. He was very important to the show, and we developed a friendship outside of just the recording. We would talk to him before and after our recordings, and he will definitely be missed. And like I said, spread the Disney history. That's what he wanted. So, you know, buy his books. Those will live on. And, you know, read one for Jim.
Anyone sharing their memories in the chat?
Not yet.
Captivated by my professional delivery of that. That
Christine said, "Rest in peace, Jim." Michael said, "I loved his enthusiasm about whatever he talked about." Yeah.
Yeah, you can go back and listen to those other episodes. He was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we like to joke that, you know, it was like an evening off for us, because we could just say, "Jim, tell us about Disneyland in 1967. And then we could just sit back and listen.
Even if we wanted to get a word in, sometimes we couldn't. That's okay, though. He had so much to share that I didn't mind at all. So,
well, if you didn't really know of Jim, you know, maybe you're a newer listener and that doesn't really get you, I will bring up that we lost Paul Reubens as well. Pee-wee Herman, you know, the guy who portrayed Pee-wee Herman, but he did Captain Rex in the original Star Tours. And of course, he was also the voice in Flight of the Navigator, of the voice of the spaceship, which is how he got the gig for the Star Tours gig, mm-hmm. because Mark Eads heard that and thought he'd be great to be the voice of Captain Rex in Star Tours. So, yeah, unfortunately, we lost Pee-wee Herman. We lost Paul Reubens. So, you know, part of the circle of life, I guess. It's still sad to talk about it. I wanted to congratulate our contemporary, one of our friends, and someone we mentioned in the book, the first book, Dale Smoot.
Yeah.
Dale retired. So I think he had been there 30 years or so
in custodial.
More than 30 years. He got to go. He was one of the people, I think, that was on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
For the Pearl Harbor premiere.
Yeah.
So, so we wish Dale a long and happy retirement. Yeah. Well deserved.
Well, we're going to kind of transition into
our standard coverage.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know we didn't start off the happiest, but we kind of wanted to get that.
Wanted to get it out of the way.
Out of the way, but we wanted to address it properly, and I think we more than did that. So
we're all going to miss Jim, and yeah. You know, we're going to carry on and still do our thing.
Yep.
A Brady McDonald story, of course, from the Orange County Register. Disneyland delays Fantasmic return until spring 2024 without the 40-foot tall dragon. So that broke on July 26th. The story came out. By the way, we will have links at our website, thesweepspot.com, under the current events for all these stories. Yeah. As Brady reported, Fantasmic will return to the Rivers of America at the Anaheim theme park in spring 2024, according to Disneyland officials. Our goal is to always deliver the best possible show for our guests, according to Disneyland officials. With that in mind, we're not offering a show. With that in mind, we are planning to return the return of Fantasmic with exciting new magic in spring 2024. Disneyland crews, that was the end of that quote. Okay, Disneyland crews have been working to repair the Fantasmic Dragon since the technically impressive and massive audio animatronic figure burst into flames during a performance of the Nighttime Spectacular in April. Fantasmic won't include the dragon figure when the show returns, but will instead feature new special effects during the battle scene between Sorcerer Mickey and Maleficent, according to Disney officials.
What do you think, before you read the end here, what do you think, I mean, we could always speculate, but isn't it interesting they're not going to even try to replace the dragon?
Well, and they can do the show without it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
They had the animation sequence instead, I believe. So, yeah.
Seems interesting that they're not doing it. You know, putting on the show is a big deal. I mean, it takes the performers, it takes the pyrotechnicians, the other technicians are doing it, all the guest control. Mm-hmm. It's a really big deal, and but on the other hand, it also, you know, they sell, I wonder how many meals they sell as a result of it. You know, not even the official meals, but just people saying, well, if we're going to sit here, we should go get dinner too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The Fantasmic dining packages, you know, that from the Blue Bayou, Riverbell Terrace, and Hungry Bear. I know that was pretty successful. So,
yeah.
It's interesting. We'll have to see. I didn't expect it to come back anytime soon because you figure you have the holidays coming up. It's just kind of Fantasmic to me. I know it kind of ran year round on the weekends, but it always felt like kind of a spring summer type show. I don't know if it was because of the water or what. But.
Yeah. Yep. It's very curious. Yeah. They do say while Fantasmic remains on hiatus, Disneyland has replaced the Nighttime Spectacular with nightly performances of bobbing for apples in the river. Mm-hmm. Sorry, no, that doesn't say that. nightly performances of Queenie and the Jambalaya Jazz Band floating on the Rivers of America. Additional entertainment on the Rivers of America will be announced soon. I'm telling you, bobbing for apples. That's what we're going to do. Anyone saying anything in the chat room?
Oh, plenty. So related to Fantasmic, gotta fatten up the new dragon for the show. I fear they won't bring the dragon back at all. The Red Hot Dragon. I'm not reading the names of the people that read them. Just because I'm trying to get to. There's a lot here. Maybe Mickey battles a sweep spot trash can. must have damaged more than the dragon if they can't do the alternate finale.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's a possibility.
That's true. Yeah. Because some of the stage was damaged, or they just don't want to replace it with, although it, the B mode, they called it, was something that was kind of regular, when, especially in the beginning when the dragon was having a lot of problems. So, yeah, it is interesting that they just wouldn't go to that, especially as popular as it is, especially during the summer, that they didn't do that. So, yeah, maybe there was some mechanics down in that stage area that were damaged.
Well, we shall see. We'll wait and see what they do with it. Some people are afraid they might not bring back the show at all. So,
no. Yeah. I mean,
there's going to be something, even if they change it and it's no longer Fantasmic, there's going to be something that uses that infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's always been something there even before Fantasmic, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And for years before they did Fantasmic, they were kicking around ideas of what, you know, what were they going to do? They wanted to do something there, some sort of show using pyro and water and projections and all sort of things, you know, but.
Right.
So yeah, maybe they'll come up with another concept. We'll see.
Christine was saying maybe they're getting rid of all the fire effects. So do you know if, because Fantasmic's running again at Walt Disney World, are they not using the fire at all over there? Because I've never seen the
show. There was a temporary moratorium, but I don't know if that was lifted.
Yeah, because I've never seen the show over there, but I assume they had fire on the water at that section of the show.
Yeah.
Michael made a good point. Maybe drones.
Yeah, you know, they seem to have been reluctant to use them.
Yeah, they might crash. But if they're out over the water, then yeah, maybe. It's interesting. We'll probably get more information as time goes on.
All right. Well, micechat.com has that story. They have coverage of that. So if you want, from Dusty Sage, if you want to click through and take a look at that. The Register did report a Brady McDonald story. The headline says, Disneyland opens Finding Nemo Water Park at Pixar Place Hotel. Now, when you read water park, I mean, I'm thinking of like Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach, you know, Raging Waters, you know.
Yeah.
It's not quite like that. But as you said, the new Finding Nemo water play area is opening to guests on Tuesday, August 1st, which of course is behind us now. As part of an ongoing transformation of the Pixar Pier Hotel that is expected to be completed this winter, the revamped rooftop pool area will feature a mini water park with a pixel pool, a 186-foot long Crush's Surf and Slide, and Nemo's Cove splash pad starring Hank the Septopus. So, the family play area on the outdoor deck, inspired by Pixar short films, will feature interactive games themed to La Luna, Bao, For the Birds, and Burrow. Work on the 15-story Paradise Pier Hotel, which remains open during construction, is expected to continue through the rest of the year. The Pixar-themed transformation will add areas dedicated to The Incredibles, Toy Story, and Inside Out. The renovation represents a major investment in the tens of millions of dollars that will completely reimagine the rooms, swimming pool, lobby, and exterior of the hotel, according to Disneyland officials. You know, it's kind of interesting, both with the land inside the park and the hotel, that you would theme something to a brand, you know,
right?
Pixar. You're not saying, okay, we're gonna theme it to Finding Nemo, or you know,
no, yeah,
we're gonna theme it to Pixar. You know, it's like, okay, how about over here we make the Lucasfilm Hotel? You know, I mean, you know, there's the Howard the Duck Lounge,
you the know, Hulu the Hulu Bar.
So
Michael says they have a Nemo area like that at the Art of Animation Hotel at Disney World. Kind of looks like they brought over stuff from that. Interesting.
Yeah, there's no need to invent they don't see a need to reinvent the wheel, so they'll often you'll see elements kind of like, you know, there's elements from the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that made it into the Snow White adventure. What do they call it? The Enchanted Wish, the attraction here. So, you know. Yep. And both Laughing Place and Mice Chat have coverage of the Pixar Pier, or the Pixar Place Hotel, I should say. Mm-hmm. So you can go click through and see pictures and all that sort of thing, because we can't really show you pictures on the podcast. Speaking of the hotels, Disneyland had turned Steakhouse 55 restaurant into a bar and lounge. And that was another Brady McDonald story from the Orange County Register. Disneyland plans to turn a dimly lit and lavishly decadent old Hollywood style hotel restaurant that has been home for decades to an upscale steakhouse steeped in Disney history into a seasonal bar and lounge with a lighter and brighter design. The former Steakhouse 55 restaurant will be converted into a flexible lounge space that will occasionally serve as an extension of a seasonal bar to accommodate more guests during peak periods, according to Disneyland officials. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Steakhouse 55 permanently closed in July 2021 during the phased reopening of eateries, shops, and attractions at the Disneyland Resort following the year-long COVID-19 closure of the Anaheim theme parks. Fans of the Disneyland Steakhouse cheered a few months later when the high-end restaurant concept was revived at Walt Disney World in Florida. Steakhouse 71 opened in October 2021 at Disney's Contemporary Resort during the kickoff of the 50th anniversary celebrating the 1971 debut of the Magic Kingdom. The clubby and pricey Steakhouse 55 opened in 2006 at the Disneyland Hotel with an elegant old Hollywood atmosphere. Steakhouse 55 replaced Granville's Steakhouse, which opened in 1983. The 55 in the Steakhouse name refers to the 1955 opening date of the Disneyland theme park.
Have you ever eaten at Steakhouse 55?
I don't believe I did, and that's obviously why they closed it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't contribute to it, so they decided, screw it, we're closing it.
I wanted to. It sounded good. The food sounded good. I just never had the opportunity to. It's just interesting. I mean, you hear all these people, oh, they're closing it, but I guess there wasn't enough people. I mean, if it was really popular, they wouldn't have closed it.
Well, who knows? I mean, that's the logical conclusion, but you know, maybe there could be other reasons. I don't know.
I guess, with the lounge coming in there,
they could try to pay tribute to Hollywood, and they could call it Studio, and then kind of instead of 50, you don't want to have to bring back the 55. You could just call it Studio 54.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking about that. Or
that's already taken. So I never mind. Sorry. I'm not hip enough to. No.
What do you think? A bar and a lounge. I mean, they have that at Trader Sam's, and that's a really popular place. So maybe they're kind of hoping to kind of spread it out a little bit.
Well, this one would probably be less themed than Trader Sam's.
Yeah,
that's what
definitely.
That's what it's looking like is.
But that's okay, because maybe some people don't mind a little less theming. They just want a quiet, cool, you know, place to go.
They should go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what actually happens with it before people start, you know, pitching a fit over, you ruined it, you know. Yeah. We do have our Patreon supporters joining us in the chat, and you can do that once a month if you are a Patreon supporter at a certain level. So that's who we're occasionally, we're dropping in their comments as we go over these stories. So, Laughing Place will have that coverage as well as Steakhouse 55. As they say in their story, Steakhouse 55 officially opened on November 27th, 2006, replacing Granville's Steakhouse, which opened in 1983 when the hotel was still managed by the Rather Corporation. Granville's Steakhouse was named after hotel co-owner Bonita Granville, whose name also graced one of the hotel's three towers, which is now the Frontier Tower. Steakhouse 55 offered an upscale old Hollywood experience decorated with black and white photos of stars from Hollywood's golden era, including Walt Disney. Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm interested. We'll see.
I wonder if any of our Patreon supporters remember either of those restaurants, you know.
Let's see. Yeah. John said great ribeye steak. And he said it was always crowded for dinner, expensive but worth it. Patrick said ate there when it was Granville's and Steakhouse 55. I liked the elegance. The wedge salad was my favorite.
Nice. Someone,
John said salad was never on my menu, Patrick. Great filet, Kim said. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of restaurants, another Brady McDonald report from the Register. Disneyland nears opening of Tiana's Palace restaurant. We're almost there. Construction scrims have been removed from the building, revealing the thematic riverboat wheelhouse and twin smokestacks atop the restaurant and the Tiana's Palace sign on the wrought iron balcony over the entrance. But you can't book a reservation just yet for Tiana's Palace. Disneyland has not confirmed an opening date for the restaurant beyond sometime later this year. So that's happening in New Orleans Square over there at the, what was the French Market? It's that one that's really close to the train station. MiceChat.com has coverage of that. They've updated their coverage. You can get all the details there if you're so inclined.
I did want to say, I did see some of the photos, and it does look pretty neat. I know that at first I thought, oh, I don't know. Because I liked the way it looked before.
Yeah.
But it actually does look pretty good. So, and it looks like it'll be really neat at night. We will see.
Especially if there's no Fantasmic going, you need something over there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's more restaurant news coming out of the resort. Plenty of restaurant news.
Yeah.
Disneyland expands Booze to three more restaurants. The headline says, against Walt Disney's wishes. Because you know what, they end up quoting him from 1956. It's like, you think it's just possible his opinion might have changed by now? I don't know. I mean, I know it's, there, people go back and forth on this. I'm not going to really order the drinks there because I'm not a heavy drinker, and so it's not like, you know, I wish they would serve it there for my own sake, you know. Or but I know there's people who don't like it because of, you know, they're just like, because of tradition, or because they just don't think it's good in a kid, in a place that caters to kids. You know,
yeah, I know. There's a lot of opinions going on. And I have to admit, when I first saw this, my first thought was, oh no, you know, I was a little disappointed. And it took me a few days and I thought about it. I went, okay, I get it. It's different. So what Walt had said and now it's a different atmosphere than what he was referring to, which was like a fair carnival.
And he was really trying to establish that Disneyland was different.
Was different, and that's
been established.
and also it's not allowing people to walk. And if they ever do this, I think I would be upset. But it's not allowing people to just walk around and with alcohol throughout the park. You have to stay in the restaurant.
These are table service restaurants.
And a 2-drink minimum, or we say that, maximum. Minimum. so really, if they ever start doing that, then yeah, I think, because it's one thing if you're just in a restaurant, and plus that had always been existed. You could have went to California Adventure and had drinks and then walked across a couple hundred feet to Disneyland. Yeah. So, or even before California Adventure from the hotel on the monorail. Yeah. So it always kind of has existed. So I kind of get it. And as a business, you do want
it. Yeah. Disney sees it. If they're not offering it, Disney sees it as they're leaving money. They're bypassing money they could have. And they're trying to cater to, there's a lot of international guests who are from cultures that it's very common to drink with a meal. And it's kind of weird that you don't have that option. And so they're like, okay, well, why forego this money? I would imagine that, this is involving all kinds of backstage stuff. You have to train the servers, right?
Oh, yeah.
As far as, checking
ID. They have to be 21, the ones that serve it too, right?
How it's where they're storing the stuff, making sure that they got all the paperwork with the city or the county or the state,
permits and
so there's a lot of that. And so it's as the story says, Disneyland will serve beer, wine, and specialty cocktails starting this fall at 3 more table service restaurants in Frontierland, New Orleans Square, and Main Street USA. Select alcoholic beverages will be introduced on September 12th in tandem with new seasonal menu items at Cafe Orleans, Riverbell Terrace, and Coronation Cafe, according to Disneyland officials. The 3 table service restaurants join Olga's Cantina that introduced alcohol in 2019 when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge debuted at the and the Blue Bayou that added booze to the menu in 2021 following the pandemic closure of the park. The exclusive Club 33 private club in New Orleans Square has long served beer, wine, and cocktails to its well-heeled members. What about the rest of the members? It doesn't serve it to them too? Anyway. Specialty beverages are being added to the menus at Cafe Orleans, Riverbell Terrace, and Carnation Cafe in response to customer feedback, according to Disneyland officials. So they're saying, look, this is what guests want, so we're doing it. Disney California Adventure has served alcohol at many eateries since the second gate opened across the Esplanade from Disneyland in 2001. MyChat.com covers the story with their headline is Disneyland adding adult beverages to 3 more restaurants. And as Dusty Sage says there, Carnation Cafe is a classic American restaurant located on Main Street USA. Main Street USA, the new menu will feature a selection of wines, beers, and cocktails, including a Carnation cooler made with vodka, raspberry, and ginger ale. Riverbell Terrace is a waterfront restaurant located in Frontierland. The new menu will feature a selection of wines, beers, and cocktails, including a Riverbell Margarita made with tequila, lime, and orange liqueur. Cafe Orleans is a Cajun-inspired restaurant located in New Orleans Square. The new menu will feature a selection of wines, beers, and cocktails, including a Cafe Orleans Hurricane made with rum, passion fruit, orange, and pineapple juices. What do our Patreon supporters have to say, if anything, about this?
Sounds good. Let's see here. I think Walt would be fine with the rules in place. Like anyone can get drunk off of two Disney drinks. Are Mai Tais considered booze? Those pirates are influencing the powers that be, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes, blame the pirates.
Yep. It's the pirates, I tell you. I think I've mentioned it before, but, you know, when Disneyland opened, you know, Disneyland opened in 1955, the per capita consumption of alcohol didn't reach pre-prohibition levels in the United States until the 70s. So there was still some stigma, you know, and there's a lot less stigma now. So, yeah. But, So the Register reported that Disney reaches Magic Key settlement in $5 million annual pass holder lawsuit. So, as it says, Disneyland has reached a settlement with a Magic Key annual pass holder who claimed in a class action lawsuit that the Anaheim theme park misled and deceived its most loyal fans by artificially limiting capacity and restricting reservations, according to court documents. The complaint filed by Disneyland Magic Key annual pass holder Janelle Nielsen of Santa Clara County has reached a settlement, according to court documents. Nielsen's motion for court approval of the class action settlement is due August 31st. The lawsuit alleges that Nielsen purchased a $1,399 Disneyland Dream Key annual pass with no blockout dates in September 2021, but was unable to make theme park reservations for certain dates in November 2021. The $5 million suit filed against Walt Disney Parks and Resorts on behalf of all Magic Key annual pass holders alleges Disneyland relegated them to second-class ticket holders by artificially limiting Magic Key reservations and the number of pass holders that can visit any given day. Magic Key annual passes went on sale in August 2021 after Disneyland ended its former four-decade-old annual pass holder program during the extended coronavirus closures of the Anaheim theme parks. Disneyland sold out of the top-priced Dream Key in October 2021 amid howls from angry pass holders due to the widespread lack of reservations available for the $1,399 pass with no blockout dates. Magic Key reservations were frequently unavailable when the new annual pass program first launched, while the daily ticket calendar often showed widespread availability. The $1,399 Dream Key with no blockout dates has since been replaced by the $1,599 Inspire Key with blackout dates during the 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's Day holiday season. I wonder what the settlement involved. Is there a connection between the three more restaurants offering booze? If you just sell us booze at three more than restaurants and we'll drop the suit. Or maybe they offered her like popcorn bucket, like specialty popcorn buckets without having to wait in line to buy them.
Well, John says she's receiving VIP seating for Fantasmic for the rest of the year as her settlement.
There you go.
I like it.
And don't forget, Lightning Lane for Splash Mountain.
That's right.
So she's happy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And free parking in the Eeyore section. Yeah.
Well, and free dining at Pixar. Okay, so
at Steak 55. Yeah. Yes, all she cares to eat at Steakhouse 55.
Wow. So what do you think about? I mean, I kind of get it, what she's saying here, but in a way, it sort of felt like, I don't know.
It's kind of hard to beat the fine. Disney has lots of fine print when you when you do anything like this, to which you're agreeing. It's kind of hard to beat that. But Disney might have been thinking, well, if this actually goes to trial, you know, how much can we find a jury that's not going to consider us greedy jerks, you know?
Hard to do that. Yeah.
So, you know, the people get scared when it's actually when you're actually heading to trial. So they say, let's work out a deal, you know. And
yeah,
I wonder what that deal was.
Hmm.
Maybe they'll, you know, maybe there's there we're not going to offer magic key passes anymore. So there.
Well, yeah, it didn't say there was information will be released soon, but
it's the end of the month, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll get rid of reservations for just for a pass. I know that Walt Disney World, I don't think you need reservations anymore for pass holders there.
Maybe maybe they won't make you get reservations, but they're going to limit, maybe they'll limit how many times you can, I don't know.
Well, remember the pass that went away? Well, remember before they got rid of passes altogether, there was the Flex Pass, I think it was called. And that one you had to make reservations for. That was like one of the drawbacks, and also it had more blockout dates, but that was one of the drawbacks is that you had to make reservations, but it was perfect for someone like me that would plan ahead anyways. So it didn't really matter. And I knew a lot of people that had them that lived, you know, 4 or 6 hours away.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the precursor to this precursor. Yeah. And, so I don't know, maybe for like the most expensive one, maybe you don't have to make reservations for that one, but you do for the others, maybe something like that.
Yep, that could be. It could be. Well, we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll if they figure they have to, maybe they'll just limit how many of those passes they sell. You know, if they feel like it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and they're already kind of doing that where they. They stopped selling of certain passes and
All right. Gotta get that favorable attendance mix. That's the terminology that was with the undesirable or I forget the word unfavorable attendance.
Unfavorable,
mix,
yeah.
Yeah. all right. Not to be outdone by Costco, Disneyland is already decking the halls for the Christmas holiday season. And that was also in the register. There's plenty of stories in the register this time. The winter holiday season returns to Disneyland, DCA, and Downtown Disney, and the three Disney Resort hotels from November 10th through January 7th. So now you know, folks, if you're planning a trip, you know, plan accordingly. The World of Color Season of Light Nighttime Spectacular returns to DCA's Paradise Bay with scenes from Disney animated films set to holiday music. Back again for another holiday run are A Christmas Fantasy Parade with marching toy soldiers, dancing gingerbread cookies, and Santa, and Believe in Holiday Magic Fireworks and Projection Spectacular with a faux snowfall finale, as well as holiday ride overlays on It's a Small World and Haunted Mansion, but not Jingle Cruise, huh? Yes. I noticed somebody posted pictures from Walt Disney World, and they already had like jack-o'-lanterns up. It was still July.
Oh wow!
You know,
yeah.
I said, it's still July. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I guess it takes a while, you know, to get everything up. You have to start sometime. But yeah, it does seem a little early.
Well, plus a lot of schools are already going back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're already going back. And so Disney figures, well, if summer is going to be over with and it's on to the Halloween season and then, you know, the winter holiday season.
Right.
Why not? You know, sell that food and merchandise as a result.
Mm-hmm.
We have the official Disney Parks blog story on that on the start of the holiday season. I love these stories because they always have so much of their, you know, legalese at the end of it. does anyone in our chat room have anything to say about the holidays or anything else we want to mention?
Not yet.
Okay.
I know it's a little behind the chat, or
there's a slight delay. Yeah. But as it says here in the official Disney Parks blog coverage, entertainment, experiences, and offerings may be modified, limited in availability, or unavailable, and are subject to restrictions and change or cancellation without notice. Both valid theme park reservation and admission for the same park on the same day are required for park entry. Park reservations are limited, subject to availability, and not guaranteed. Park admission and offerings are not guaranteed.
Faster.
Visit Disneyland /updates for important information to know before visiting the Disneyland Resort.
Yeah. Christmas in August. Why not? Patrick says. Christine said Walt Disney World's first Halloween party is August 11th.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. It's just.
I assume that's because they're so popular they have to, and that, you know, we talked about Oogie Boogie Bash a few weeks ago and how popular of how fast those went. It makes me wonder if Disneyland is looking into possibly starting those sooner.
You know what they need is, if they do, they need to do a third park that is just nothing but holiday stuff.
Year round.
Year round, you know.
Christmas starts in
divide it up between Halloween, Christmas, and the other winter holidays. Valentine's Day.
4th of July.
Yeah.
Summer one. That would be good. But they have to do something. I mean, the demand is there, so there's a lot of money being left on the table, as they say. And I know Disney doesn't like that, so they're going to definitely find a way to. It's true, right? If I had a business and there was people that couldn't get our books, people are just buying them so many, I couldn't even keep them stocked.
We can dream, can't we?
We would have to find a way.
Well, the store, Main Street used to be a half an hour way back when. They used to keep Main Street shops open a half an hour after the park closed. And I saw a letter from somebody. I don't know if they printed it in the Disneyland line or where they printed it, but the guy was saying, I'm a shareholder. And there were people who were begging to do more shopping. Yeah. Can't you extend the time? And so they said, okay, well, we'll make it an hour.
Yeah.
And because they were right, the shareholders are just like, there's people who are begging to spend money and you're kicking them out of the park.
Yeah. And that's the same scenario now with these private, especially the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're brainstorming, but we do have a few comments here.
Okay.
Christmas in August, why not? I think pumpkins would melt in the August sun. They already have the name too, Holidayland.
That's right, Holidayland. not the Holidayland that your grandfather remembers,
Well, instead of a park, what if they just had a land that was just holidays year round? Holidayland. Yeah. But they called Holidayland wasn't it more like in substitute of like Vacation Land? It was kind of like
because I think they were already using Vacation Land for something. Well, MiceChat.com does have coverage of this of the winter. They have a complete guide to it, and Dusty Sage has that, so you can click through and see that. And as usual, MiceChat.com does have their standard Disneyland updates that are loaded with pictures. Nathan Villamore, has the Disneyland update, Toontown tidbits, terrific treats, and tourist trends. So a little alliteration there. And there was the other update was from Dusty Sage, titled Disneyland Update, Fantasmic Falters, Tiana Triumphs, and San Francisco Sizzles. Yeah. So if you want to read and see those, you can click through. I don't have anything more to add except for, you know, if you've got some renovations to mention.
Oh, do we?
Do we? Oh, and before I forget, please accept my lack of professionalism in breaking down at the start of the start of this segment with my emotion.
It's fine. It is fine. Yeah, quite a list here. It's refurb season, summertime. All right. So we're going to start off here with the monorail is down, and but it will be back on September 1st. Mr. Toad is down and will be back August 11th. So not too far from now. The Redwood Creek Challenge Trail will be back open August 15th. Toy Story Midway Mania will be back open on August 18th. And the Haunted Mansion down and back on September 1st.
I wonder what they're doing with that.
Holiday Land. So, Radiator Springs Racers down August 18th and we'll be back August
27th. Oh boy.
Dumbo is down for one day, August 21st.
What is that about?
They've been doing that periodically. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
maybe they take one off and they, I don't know. Animation Academy is down August 21st and we'll be back September 15th. This is a big one. Golden Zephyr is down August 28th, and they don't know when it's coming back.
It depends on the wind.
It does. There's a slight breeze, and like, close it down.
Butterfly went by, and they had to stop it. You know.
Yeah. Sorcerer's Workshop is down August 28th, and we'll be back September 7th. Pirate's Lair, so Tom Sawyer Island, will be down for 2 days. September 6th and 7th. And then the last one, Sailing Ship Columbia, will be down for a couple few days. September 11th will be back on September 15th.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about Fantasmic for that, so.
Yeah, true. That's a lot. Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot going on.
It's a lot of reefers, but they have to get everything ready for the holiday season. That's the busy time now, so.
Yeah, yeah, and I really enjoy having our Patreon supporters joining us in the live chat, so that we can add their comments and
let's do that.
They can make us laugh. Yeah.
They do. I'm renovating my bathroom. Someone said,
that's part of the refurbs. That's.
Jack Skellington is moving in. It's his turn in the timeshare.
Yeah, yeah.
Pirates is closing for holiday overlay. Ho, ho, ho. A Pirates Christmas for me. All right.
I still say they need to do a Pirates overlay for Valentine's Day. But, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so that's our current events. Thank you so much for everyone in the chat room. We had a lot of people tonight, and that was a lot of fun.
We update you, the listener, on current events every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The alternate weeks, we have a main topic episode of the podcast. So if you haven't done it already, subscribe or follow us somewhere. For instance, Apple Podcasts, if you just subscribe to us there for free and you'll get every episode. We do the live chat with our Patreon supporters once a month. So you can join in with that and chat with other Patreon supporters of the podcast. And mm-hmm. maybe we'll read your comments on our show.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, we're going to miss Jim. And there's plenty of great episodes featuring Jim. If you go through our archive, search for Jim Korkus in our official archive. We want to thank you for joining us, and go to our website, thesweepspot.com.
Thank you again, and we'll talk with you next time.